You're listening to Abstinence After Sex. Hello, beautiful. I hope that you can hear me because I got this mic on. Testing. Oh, 1, 2, 3. All right. So I'm going to just jump right in because it's been a long time since, you know, we talked. It's been like 2 weeks, I think, and I'm ready to like get this podcast out here. So first I'm gonna do like a review of this book that I read for you guys. Well, not for you guys, I read it for myself, to be honest. Let's be honest, Bethany. And then I'm gonna get into today's actual podcast. All right, so the book that I read is called Jesus, Sex, and the Conversations the Church Forgot. And you guys know that I cannot read, so I might jack up this name, but here is the person's name if you want to go look at it, go look for it, or just look up this title. It's a really good book. I'm going to tell you some things that I got from it. I had to write them down because, you know, I'm an old lady. All right, so the first thing that I like about the book, or that I got from the book, is that there's a difference between purity and virginity. So the author of this book was talking about how she waited to have sex until she was married, but she wasn't like pure. And there's a difference, like we always confuse, or in the church we confuse the difference between purity and like actually saving yourself from like for marriage. For me, y'all know abstinence after sex, so you know that like I didn't wait. A lot of people that watch this didn't wait, so we have to understand, like, in this time, in this declaration of like choosing to wait until marriage or choosing to not have sex, we have to still make sure that we're still pure. And it's hard to like, we really walk a thin line. And so she talked about in the book how she, like, even though she said that she was a virgin, she still watched porn, she still masturbated, she still had oral sex, she still had other, like, she still did other things. And that's not, you know, the definition of purity. So what God wants from us is for us to sacrifice our flesh, sacrifice our desires for him, to like get closer to him until we can get to marriage, until we can get closer to another person the way God wants us to get closer to another person. So that's what I got. That's the first thing I got. And then also she talked about like her addiction to porn, and you know I had an addiction to porn too. And she just talked about like the dangers of it, and how we, like, if you watch porn over and over again, if you get like addicted to it, you know that like it dehumanizes the person basically for like our pleasure. So we dehumanize people for our pleasure. Like, you know, like it has to, it's like after you watch it the first time, it's like, ooh. But then it has to get worse and worse. Like, you have to see somebody in pain as you continue to watch that porn. Like, and you don't realize it. Like, you're in it, but you think you're just trying to get off. Like, you literally, that's how you feel. Like, you feel like, I'm just trying to get off. I'm just trying to, like, come. But we're not realizing that the stuff that we're watching is shaping our minds to view people as just a tool for us to have pleasure. And, yeah. It just, like, when you look at it that way, and the fact that like people actually have to, people are actually hurt, like, and she talks about in the book like how researchers say that people, like people that make porn, say that people can tell when a person is really in pain versus when they're acting. And like they say that people like seeing people actually in pain. So you have to think about like, how is that shaping your mind? Like, you're literally trying to get off on somebody else being in pain. Like, you, like, we were, I was becoming that type of a human. So it's just, I don't know, it just makes me feel weird just thinking about it. But when you're in it, you don't realize that that's what you're doing. Another thing that she talked about, or that I got from the book, was affirmation. So she talked about like how she was dressing and stuff and how she like used it as a way to get attention. And I did the same thing. I still kind of subconsciously do the same thing. Like, I feel like a lot of people do it. Like, we dress a certain way, we carry ourselves a certain way for attention, for affirmation, for like just acknowledgement from other people. Or I was like, depending, I was looking for affirmation from another person, like from a room in a romantic way. So if I was dating you, I would need your attention, basically. Like, I would need you to compliment me. I would need you to, like, my love language is touch. I would need you to, like, touch me or something, like, let me know that you desire me. And one, that's a lot to put on another person, like, for you to like say that in order for me to feel worth like something, I need you to like affirm me. And we're supposed to look for that affirmation from God, but we usually do it the other way. We usually look for affirmation from humans. So another way people do it is by the post that they post. So like, you could be posting a picture that's provocative, or you could be just posting a picture of your little sister or a post of your dog and stuff. And if you don't get the likes that you want, or you don't get like the comments that you usually get, you kind of feel some type of way. And that's because we're like looking for affirmation from people. Like, we're literally looking for somebody to like say, oh, that's cute, or like it, or something like that, in order for us to like feel like somebody sees me, like somebody is acknowledging that I'm like even here. And we also do it in a different way. So one of my friends, what she does is like, she brags by complaining. So she'll be like, oh, it's always people in my DM, always trying to get my number and stuff like that. Like, we usually, and it's been times where I've done that too, we're like getting affirmation from people that we don't even like we want to get that affirmation. We want to feel like somebody out there desires me, somebody out there thinks that I'm worth crawling in my DMs, like somebody out there is like saying that I'm beautiful. Even if I don't want them, like, I want that attention, like I want you to want me, basically. And I still kind of do it in terms of like, even with abstinence after sex. It was one time I put a post up, but I have to catch myself, and you have to make sure that you catch yourself. So I caught myself. I put up a post, and it was like a question, but it was like a challenging question. People wasn't really responding. A part of me was like, oh, should I take it down? But then the other side was like, well, Bethany, if you put it up, then like, you have to check like the reason why you're doing stuff. Like, did you put it up there to help somebody, or did you put it up for the likes and for the affirmation? So I didn't take it down, because it's just like, we have to check our priorities. We have to check just our actions. Like, why are you doing the stuff that you do? Why are you telling people at 12 o'clock at night that you can't sleep? Why? Because you want that attention. You want somebody to crawl in your DMs and say, oh, what's wrong? Oh, why? This, that, and that. Like, you can get affirmation from God. But I feel like we want that instant gratification. We want somebody human to say, oh, you lonely right now? Here I come. And like, we know what we do, especially when we put stuff on snaps and stuff. Like, we brag about who was looking, like, we complain, we brag by complaining and say, oh, she was looking at my snaps. But deep down, like, why are you looking to see who looks? If you like, it's confusing, you guys. So that's what I got from it. And then the last thing that I got from it is responsibility. So just taking responsibility for just your actions. With me, I had to take responsibility about the part that I play in terms of my relationship, and I had to take responsibility about the part that I play for like sexual immorality. I think that's the way that you say it. Sexual immorality, just to like come into my relationship. a lot of people would be like, oh, well, Bethany, he had a part too. But like, no, I have to own my part. Like, I know Bethany. I am an instigator. Like, I start stuff. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. Like, I literally will provoke my boyfriend to like desire me. And she talked about that in the book too. She talked about like how she would like initiate or tempt her boyfriend to like basically want to do stuff with her. And I do the same thing. Like, I literally like start stuff. My boyfriend can be sitting by himself chilling, minding his business, and I would like climb on top of him and stuff, like do the most. For what reason? Because I want affirmation, I want his attention. So it's just like taking responsibility for like what I am doing in the whole situation. And she said in the book, and it made me think, like she said in the book, how can you say that you love that person if you're like willingly drawing them into sin? Like, I was willingly drawing him and initiating him to like draw us both into sin. But how can I say that I love him if I'm pulling him away from God? I'm gonna let that sink in. Because that sinked into me when I read the words. I was like, I closed the book that night. It was like, oh, okay, good night. Like, I had to close the book because it was just, it just hit me hard. It's just like, we have to take responsibility and have to, like, we say that we love people, but God is love. So if you're taking people away from God by causing them to sin, how much do you really love them? Or are you really just using them for your personal pleasure? Yeah. I put Romans 14:13, so we're gonna look at that. And it basically just talks about just our responsibility to people. So it says, this Romans 14:13 says, so let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. So yeah, just carry yourself, like, don't shape yourself for that person, but carry yourself, like, if you're around that person, carry yourself in a way that's not going to cause them to sin too. Like, we know the things that we do. I know the things that I'm doing. And it's just taking responsibility and being accountable to the things that you are doing. So I know that I can't control him. And yes, he has a part in it too, but I can control myself, and I can set, and I can control the boundaries. And we're going to talk about boundaries later, which I'm really excited about. You're probably not excited. You're probably like, Bethany, why the heck would I be excited about boundaries? But yeah, just, I encourage you to get the book. It's really good. You might get something different from it. That's just what I got from the book. She talks about a whole bunch of other stuff, but that's just the main things that I got from that book. So yeah, go check it out. All right. Y'all, I'm really weird. Oh my goodness. All right. So today we are going to be talking about entertaining temptation. Do not turn this off. I know you was like, maybe I should come back for the next show. No, stay on, because this is stuff that we need to, like, we need to go through it. We need to go through it. And I know you're like, but I know it's you. I know for myself, I was tired of like doing stuff and like just feeling like, why do I keep doing the same sin? Like, why do I keep going back? Why do I keep doing this? And you guys, it's 2019. We got to get over this. Like, we literally have to get over that feeling of like, oh my goodness, why is this still a challenge? Like, we got to get over this challenge this year. Let it be said, because that's what we're going to do. All right. So, so I came up with the topic, one, because I read Hebrews 12, and I'm going to read that. I'm going to read verse 1 through 4. And then also, I got confirmation from my pastor. So last Sunday, he talked about temptation and stuff. And why was this man not only, well, he didn't read Hebrews 12. He read the two stories that I was reading that I'm going to talk about later on today when we talk about boundaries and like habits and stuff like that. he compared the two people that I was going to compare with you guys, and I'm going to compare with you guys too. And I was just like, all right, Jesus, I guess I'll talk about it. Because I wasn't going to talk about it with you guys, because I'm still kind of like, I don't like to talk about stuff if I haven't like totally gotten through it. But I'm like, you know, making my way one step at a time. So the Lord was just like, Bethany, just talk about it. So I'm going to talk about it. All right. So I'm going to read Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 4. All right, so I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the companion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not given your lives in the struggle of sin. All right, so I read that, you guys, and I was just like, how Paul know that I haven't given my life in this? Like, when I read specifically verse 4, okay, and I like to also, I want to read the New King James. The New King James is what convicted me. It says, in verse 4, it says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. To me, that was like, Bethany, you're not even trying. Like, he's saying, have you resisted against sin to the point where, like, it's so hard that you're, like, bleeding? I haven't even tried, like, a little bit. Like, I get nudged a little bit, and I just give in. So that scripture convicted me, because it made me realize how easily I give in. Like, I literally, if something happens, I make room for sin, to be honest. I put down an example. So one example of like sin that I was like dealing with is like weed, like smoking weed. To me, is, some people don't think smoking weed is a sin, but to me it is. It's just something that takes me away from God. And the Bible says that if you feel as though it's taking you away from God, if you feel like something is a sin, then it's a sin. I'm gonna drop that verse down just so nobody come for me, because that's what the Bible say. But for me, like, I would make room for sin or make room for temptation by like just keeping it in my room, like keeping it in my area. Like, I don't smoke every day, but when I did, like, I made room for it by just keeping it to the side, just in case I wanted to, like, or just in case I wanted to relax, or just in case I wanted to like end the night or have fun or something like that. Like, I would keep it in my space. And I don't know what your thing is. Like, you might keep that dude's number that you're supposed to delete, and you know you're not supposed to have it. You should have blocked him. You probably didn't block him off of all your social medias. You just keep him. I'm going to just keep him on Instagram or on Snapchat for just in case reasons. I'm going to delete his number, but I'm going to keep him on something else. Like, no. We like to make room for sin. And the Bible also says, look at the Holy Spirit dropping stuff in my mind. The Bible also says, like, you need to choose this day, like, me or, like, God says either me or what you want, like, me or your fleshly desires. You want to choose this God or me, the true God. And we have to get to the point where it's just like, I'm gonna choose you. Like, I don't want to continue to go to stuff that's not really gonna help me in the first place. It feels good in the moment, but long term, it's not helping me. So it's just, you know, you gotta ask yourself, like, how much of a fight am I putting up? Like, am I really putting up a fight against sin? Or the first time it comes through, I'm just letting it through? Like, I'm not even trying to like resist it. And also, like, it doesn't have to be a sin. So I love how in Hebrews, so in the same little passage, Hebrews 12 verse 1, it says sin and weight. It doesn't just say sin, it says weight. So anything, anything that's slowing you down from your purpose. Like, what are you doing that's slowing you down from your purpose? It doesn't have, it can be a person. A person doesn't have to be sin, but it's like, what is that taking you away from your purpose? Is that relationship taking you away from your purpose? Is that Instagram taking you away from your purpose? Like, what is taking you away from your purpose? And for me, it was procrastination and distraction. So I would be watching TV, I'd be watching series on HBO, Game of Thrones, you guys. Whew. It's just distractions and like stuff that would take me away from what I know I was supposed to be doing. I would be cuddling up with my boyfriend watching movies and stuff when I know I should have edited a video, when I know I should have posted something on Instagram, or I know I should have went live for you guys. Like, I know I should have been doing something that is gonna like benefit not just me, it's gonna benefit other people, but I'm procrastinating. Like, I'm using a weight to take me away from my purpose. And so you have to like figure out, like, it's times like right now I want to be cuddled up with my boyfriend. I want to be with my boyfriend right now, but God did not create me to be like a cuddling queen. Like, no, he did not create me to cuddle. He created me so that I could teach this word, so that somebody can get this into their spirit. So you guys, it's just about sacrifice. It's about daily sacrifice. And I wrote that down too. I wrote that scripture down too, because you guys, it is, you got to keep the word or it's just going to be a struggle against this temptation and against these weights that's taking us away from our purpose. And it's 2019. I'm going to say this all 2019 until it's 2020. It's 2019 and we're going to get our lives, okay? All right, so Matthew 16, verse 24 and 25. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, people saying it, God himself. So you know you gotta get it right. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Cuddling. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. It's just about just resisting the feeling of just wanting to be complacent, just wanting to be stationary, just wanting pleasure over what it is that you are meant to do on this earth. God created us for a specific reason. God created you for a specific reason. And if you are wasting time, if you're procrastinating, if you are getting distracted, if you are putting on weights that you don't even need, it's going to be hard for you to want to read the Bible every day. It's going to be hard for you to want to go after God because you have other stuff on you that you don't even need. So you got to strip it off. Got to strip. This is the only time on Abstinence After Sex that I'm going to tell you that you need to strip. So strip it off. All right. How to put up a fight. All right. So I want you to note that temptation is never going to stop. Like, we're always going to be tempted until the day that you die. The devil is always going to tempt you with something to draw you away from God. So I can't give you stuff that like will keep temptation away, but I can give you stuff that'll help you fight against temptation. All right, and for that, we're going to look at two people. We're going to look at two people in the Bible, and we're going to talk about boundaries, boom, 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 and habits, and how you can use boundaries and habits to protect yourself from temptation. If you're looking on YouTube, you see me acting crazy. All right, so what is a habit? What is a habit? All right, a habit is just a regular practice, often done automatically or unconsciously. I think I said that right. Yeah, it's just something that you do every day without even thinking about it. Like, we have habits and we don't even we do them and we don't even think twice about it. And then what is a boundary? So I looked up personal boundary. A personal boundary defines limits and helps you determine where you end and where another person begins. So the two people that we're going to compare are Eve and Jehovah, Jesus. All right, so you guys, I don't know why I'm so goofy today, but I am. I think I just feel good. All right, so I'm not going to read the actual passages. I'm going to just give this your home, make this your homework. So you're going to have to look up Genesis 3. And also Matthew chapter 4. And it all happens in the beginning of those passages of those chapters. So look up Genesis 3 and Matthew 4, okay? All right, so when we see both of them, Jesus and Eve, they are both tempted after God has blessed them. So with Eve, she was created and God was like, be fruitful and multiply. Go ahead, girlfriend. You and your husband do your thing. And then with Jesus, he was baptized. And God was like, this is my son who I am well pleased. So after they were affirmed, after God blessed them, that's when the devil decided to stroll along up in their life. So you have to keep in mind, like, when you know that you have, like, those great experiences in church and you're like, oh, church was amazing, I'm going to do this, this, that, and that, that's when you will be tempted. Realize that. Know that so that you can arm yourself with what? With these habits and with these boundaries and with God's word. Okay? All right. So we're going to start with Eve, because our sister messed up, you guys, but it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. Sorry, I had a moment thinking about, you know, everything that women had to deal with. All right, so we see Eve and we see that she has a lack of boundaries. The first thing that we see is that, one, she just letting a stranger just walk up to her, talk to her, and tell her any old kind of thing and ask her questions. Not once did Eve ask Satan a question. She just answered all of his questions. She didn't even ask him, who are you? She just let a stranger speak into her. So who are you letting talk to you? Who are you letting inside, like, past your boundaries? Do you have a boundary set up to where you don't just let any old body or any old thing speak into your life? Life and death are in the power of the tongue, you guys. And everything that people say to you can either hurt you or it can heal you. So you need to be aware of who is talking to you, who is speaking into your life. Because that one conversation changed Eve's entire life. That one conversation took Eve away from the presence of God. So, yeah. We just gotta get our boundaries together and figure out who it is that we're letting talk to us. What TV shows are we watching that are, like, just changing the way that we look at God, or changing the way that we think what God said? because Eve just had a whole different view about what God said, and a whole different perception about what God said off of that one conversation. So just be aware of what you're looking at, what you're letting speak to you, what you're listening to, the music that you listen to. Like, be aware of the words. It's not just a good, like, don't just listen because of the beat. Like, don't just listen to it 24/7 because of the beat, because those words are sinking into your heart. You are letting somebody else shape who you are from a beautiful beat. Let it be known that Satan is beautiful. Satan was the in charge of worship, so he know good beats, he know good songs, you guys. Do not be fooled. Everybody like to picture the devil as something evil looking and nasty looking. No, the devil was beautiful. The devil was, his name was Lucifer. He was an angel. So do not be deceived. Okay, so I wanted to read you guys a scripture. It's Luke 11. Luke 11:34. So Luke 11:34, it says, your eye is the lamp, is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when it is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. Whatever you are picking up, consuming, that is what you are going to take in and fill your body with. So it's either going to be God's way or not. And you have to be mindful. Like, you can't just take in everything. You can't just watch everything. Yes, you're grown. Yes, you're a grown woman. Yes, you can do what you want. But not everything is good for you. Oh, look at the Holy Spirit. I'm going to drop that verse down. See, y'all need to be watching on YouTube, you guys. So I'm going to drop that verse down too. Paul says, yes, you can do everything. You can do anything, but not everything is good for you. Boom. I'ma drop it for you. Cause you guys need to be in the word. All right. So that was one thing. She was just having a conversation and letting random people speak into her life. Stop letting random people speak into your life, boo. Even if they've been your friends for 30 years, cut them off if you need to cut them off. If they're not speaking what God's speaking, if they're not saying what God says about you, then you need to let them go. If they're complaining all the time, if they're negative all the time, then you just need to, like, you know, fade away. Give them a little, set some boundaries, and, like, you know, don't talk to them every day. Okay? All right. And then the other thing that we see Eve do, or that I saw Eve do, is that she didn't talk to God about the conversation that she just had with Satan. She did not talk to God about the thoughts that she was having. In chapter 5, in verse 5 of chapter 3 of Genesis, it just says that she looked at the tree. She wasn't even thinking about, oh, maybe I should go talk to God about the conversation that I just had. A lot of times God just wants to be invited into the situation. We think that we can handle stuff on our own. We think that we can be superwoman. We think that we can do anything that we want to do. And we can do all things through who? Through Christ. You are trying to do too much. You think that you can handle this situation. I know that I cannot handle certain things. And I'm going to tell you guys later about, like, the boundaries that I set, because I know myself. You have to be real with yourself. We think that we can handle all this stuff. I know Bethany can't handle certain things. I want to be able to do certain things, but I know myself. So you have to know yourself, and you have to have that conversation with God. Like, God, this is what I'm thinking about doing. I ask that you, like, just fill me with your conviction. Allow me to know the right things, because I know what's right. I know the right thing to do. Please allow some, like, you need to go text your friend that's, like, deep in the word too. You need to go out with your friend instead of going with your boo. Okay? Whatever it is to get you away from that temptation, to get away from sin. But Eve didn't even decide to have a conversation. She didn't even decide to let God in to that situation. And that's what we do that a lot. We'll get tempted and not even address God. We'll get tempted and not even bring him into the situation because we think that we can handle it. Let it be known. You cannot handle everything without God. I do not want to handle everything without God. Anything without God. So yeah, it's just, we just gotta know. Listen. All right. And yeah, her choice, like, changed generations. Her choice to not include God in that situation, her choice to go and eat that apple, changed the world. Okay, so let's look at Jesus. And this is in Matthew chapter 4. It's also in Luke chapter 4 too. A lot of the scriptures are, like, repeated because it's, like, the same, you know, disciples, the 12 disciples wrote the same stuff that they experienced walking the same walk with Jesus. All right, so you can look at Luke 4 or Matthew 4. I chose Matthew. The first boundary, so Jesus allowed Satan to talk to him. And even in the first couple of verses, it says that Jesus was led to the wilderness to be tempted. So Jesus knew like what he was getting himself into. So in the first instance, when Satan talked to him, like, he knew who he was talking to. Like, he knew about the person talking to him. So it's just the fact that he was mindful, like, just be mindful. Whereas Eve wasn't mindful, Jesus was mindful. And then we see that Jesus blocked temptation by his habit. What was his habit? He was in scripture. And you can see his habit by the way that he responds to Satan. Every time Satan tries to tempt him with something, Jesus combats? You know what I mean. Jesus deflects. He psh, psh, psh. he rejects it with a word. So yeah, you have to have that habit of being in the word daily to, like, you know, block. You gotta block them, because that's the only way. Like, that's the only way. And we also see that Jesus had a habit. It says in Luke chapter 22, verse 39, it says, then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives, which means that he had a habit of praying, of talking to God, of reading his scriptures, or what scriptures were back then. Like, he had a habit of spending time with God. So you have to make that a habit so that when you are tempted, you can, you know, get him out of here, get the devil out of here, like, boom, bam. All right, and then we see that Jesus set boundaries. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus basically was like, you know what? He dismissed Satan. He was like, get out of here. Get out of here, Satan. And he did that because he knew his power. Like, he knew who he was. He was not going to keep debating with Satan about what he was going to do. And yeah, this is just these two different stories. We see Jesus realized his power. Eve did not realize her power. Eve had so much power and she affected the world, but she did not know of her power. Jesus knew his power. He knows his power. And so he acted accordingly and set a boundary and said, Satan, get out of here. Like, I am done. This is my boundary. This is the point where I am stopping. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And we have to set boundaries and say, like, this is the point where I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to go back and forth. I'm not going to answer your hey stranger text. No, this is the boundary. No. We have to get comfortable with saying no. We have to get comfortable with saying, get out of here. Because we have power, and it's just realizing, you know, it's just realizing that power that we have. All right, so now we are going to talk about habits and boundaries, you guys, because these are the two things that are going to help you fight off this temptation. All right, so, oh Lord, what is that? All right, so ask yourself, what habits can I create? All right, so y'all, I was watching Joyce Myers, and that's my girl. Hey, Joyce. she was talking about, like, focusing on how to create good habits. A lot of times we focus on, like, oh, the bad habits that we have. But she was like, no, you need to focus on what good habits that you can create, because the good habits usually, you know, sift out the bad habits. If you keep doing good habits long enough, the bad habits will just get away. They will, like, drop off. So ask yourself, like, what good habits can I create? One habit that Jesus did that you need to do, that I need to do, that we all need to do, is to be in our word and study our word and have that alone time with God. Pray, invite him in, read his word, hear what he has to say, and make it a conversation. Don't just go up to him and be like, God, I need this, I need that, that, and that, and that. Like, hear from him. Take some time, take some quiet time just to sit. After you read the word, sit and think about, what is God trying to tell me to do today? What is God trying to say to me today? So yeah, you have to make that a habit. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you, so I put down write three good habits. So three of my good habits is my morning study time. Also, I have to shut down my phone and read a book at night. So I decided, like, at a certain time, I put an alarm on my phone, you guys, and it says you got to shut it down. It's shutdown time. So that I can know, so I can get in the habit right now. Right now I have an alarm clock because I'm trying to get into that habit of every night putting my phone down and reading a book. And no, it's not the Bible. Like, I have self-help books. I did it with this book. I read it every night. It doesn't have to be about that, but I choose, you know, just stuff that's going to help me. Like, I don't want to be reading about romance novels and stuff if I'm not married. Like, why am I reading about somebody else having sex? I don't care. What I care about is getting closer to God. So, you know, if you want to put that in your schedule, if you want to read a book every night, just do something that's going to help you. If you think, if you have problems with spending, read a book about managing your money well. Like, it can be anything, just, you know, something that's going to help you. All right, and then the third habit that I have is just another alarm that I have is for, like, a midday prayer. So every day at 1 o'clock, my phone goes off and I put my phone down and I just thank God for, like, everything. I thank him. I talk to him. I talk to him about my day so far. I ask him to help me with the rest of my day. Yeah, just different things. It's just in the middle of the day. So it's just three habits. Just write them down. Three habits that you want to start, that you can start today. Yeah, that you can get into. So some people be like, oh, Bethany, I don't got the time. You do. Beyonce got the same 24 hours as everybody else. Every time I always think about that quote when people say they don't got the time. Like, Beyonce got the same 24 hours. Nobody is given 25 hours. Nobody. All right, so you have the time to do whatever it is that you want to do. It's just prioritizing it. Like, if you have to wake up early, wake up early. If you have to set an alarm, set an alarm. Like, and people be like, well, I don't like waking up early. Whenever you wake up, open your Bible instead of opening Instagram. Exactly. Like, I don't even know how to tell you other than that. Like, is you have the time. You have the time to do whatever it is that you want to do. It's just if you find it important enough. If you think that it's going to change your life or not. If you think that God is worth it or not. If you're tired of doing the same mistakes, making the same mistakes or not. Like, are you tired or are you not? Or are you not? Like, it's that simple. Are you tired or are you not? You tired or no? I'm tired. I'm tired of doing the same mistakes. I'm tired of living the same way. I want God in my life. So you have to make that decision. And some people be like, Bethany, it's boring. I'm not even gonna lie. Reading the Bible is boring. And I understand. Well, it's not boring to me, but, like, if you feel like reading the Bible is boring, okay. So you can go on YouTube. No lie, this is how I started. This is how I started. I went on YouTube, looked up T.D. Jakes. And I would listen to his sermons. And, like, as you listen to stuff like that, or Joyce Myers, or Sarah Roberts Jakes, like, you, Michael Todd, like, it's so many people that you can listen to. Joyce, like, it's so many people that you can, like, listen to. And then eventually, like, your spirit will get so, it's just feeding your spirit man. So right now you think it's boring, but your spirit man needs it. Like, deep down, you know, you feel a hole, you feel a gap inside of you. Your spirit man needs to be fed the word. So start off on YouTube. If you get the Bible app, I know in the New Living Translation, it will read the Bible to you. Before you go to sleep, press play, shut it down, like, go to sleep, reading the Bible, like, letting somebody else read the Bible to you. It's just that you have to somehow, some way, get it into your soul, get it into your system, because the more you consume it, the more that you'll want to consume it. So it's just, you know, You got the time. You got the time to do anything that you want to do, boo. All right. All right, so now we're going to talk about boundaries. So that was habits. Write down what? Three habits that you could start. Three good habits that you could start doing today. Three. Uno, dos, tres. Un, dos, trois. Three habits that you can start today. And, you know, let me know if you want. If you want to let me know your habits, I'm interested. I'm a little newsy. So let me know. All right, boundaries. Boundaries. First off, think about who or what you're letting speak into your life. So you need to evaluate your day and think about who or what did I let speak into my life today? What music did I listen to? What TV shows did I watch? What podcasts did I listen to? Wink, wink. Like, you need to even evaluate what I'm saying. Like, don't just take what I'm saying verbatim. You need to go look up them scriptures yourself. You need to do, like, don't let anybody speak into your life. Don't let just anybody speak into your life. Because it's your life. Like, I want you to know this. Like, you control. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us the spirit of love, of power, sound mind, and self-discipline, self-control. Like, you can control your life. God has given you that freedom. So use it. Take control of it. All right? So, yeah. Your friends. If you on the phone with your friends every night, and they're not talking about stuff that's going to get you anywhere, they're not talking about God, maybe you should hang up. Maybe you should put them on the block list. And when they be like, girl, what's wrong with your phone? Girl, my phone. Oh, never mind. You're not supposed to lie. Just listen. Listen. Get control of your life. Get control of who you let speak into you. Get control of what you're watching. Get control. Like, just evaluate that. So that's the first thing about your boundaries. And then the second thing, just set some boundaries. Like, literally, write down some stuff that you are going to start doing, that you are going to stop, like, allowing into your life. And it's important that you set them for yourself. So you cannot set boundaries for other people because you cannot control other people. God has given you control and stewardship over your own life. Even my daughter, even Olivia. Like, I can set some rules in place and stuff, but I cannot control her. Like, we try so hard to control other people and get so upset because they're not doing the things that we're doing. Like, we put so much frustration on ourselves because we think that we can control people, and you cannot. Like, you cannot. Okay? So, but what you can do is set some boundaries. So, I'm gonna read you some boundaries, like a few boundaries that I put for myself. So, for myself, I put no sleepovers. Why? Because I know Bethany. Bethany can't sleep over her boyfriend's house no more. Why? Because I know Bethany. Like, I have to have boundaries. It's not, like, boundaries are for yourself and for your self-control. So, don't just put boundaries that you know is going to keep you from what you don't need to be doing. So, do not play games with yourself. This is for yourself. Do not lie to yourself. Do not lie. Well, you can't even lie to God. Do not lie to yourself. Be real with yourself. Bethany cannot have sleepovers. Why? Because Bethany cannot control herself. So, no more sleepovers for Bethany. It is what it is. Yeah, so just be real with yourself. Like, if you drink, you need to say, no more liquor in my house. That's it. Like, you is nothing. If you want to get over it, if you really want to be done with it, then set the boundaries. Set them. Stick with them. All right. Another boundary for myself is no negative talk. Why? Because I do not belong to myself. I cannot talk about someone that belongs to God. I do not belong to myself. I belong to God. So I have no right to talk about myself in a negative way. Because I do not belong to myself. And I say that. I write it down and I say it out. I talk to you guys about affirmations. Like, you have to write your boundaries down and speak them out loud so that you can remind yourself of what you need to be doing and what you don't need to be doing. Another boundary is that I will not buy you anybody else's opinion over God's opinion, over God's word. if God's word is the truth, and it is the truth, I am not going to put anything over him. There is a scripture, Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Like, I am not going to let it happen. It's that Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you are against God, then boo, we not together. Boo, I need to scratch you out. Boo, like, I'm not with it. That is my boundary. That is where you end and I begin. Where I begin and you end. Like, distance is also a boundary that you can set. If you feel as though you are always with this person and you are not having, like, and you are always stressed and you are always, like, complaining and you are always crying and you are always put through a situation that you don't need to be in, boo, distance is a boundary. You cannot control that person, but you can control the time that you give them. Give them no time. Like, I'm trying to listen. And then the most important, so before you even do your boundaries, before I had to put this last because it's the most important, it has to be the last thing that you hear. All right. So before you even set your boundaries, before you even create your new habits, the first thing that you need to do is invite God in. You need to pray. You need to tell him, God, this is what I'm about to do. God, I am struggling with XYZ. You know that I am struggling with XYZ. I am deciding to be real with you today. I need your help to get over this. I know that you will help me because your word says that you will help me. Your word says that I can do all things through you that strengthens me, that gives me strength. So, you know, you better pray to the Lord because that's the only person that can help you. Nobody else. All right. And then, yeah, it's just also, I wanted to read to you guys Luke chapter 22, verse 40. And it says, then he, talking about Jesus, then he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. It's that simple. What did Jesus tell him? Jesus didn't tell him, go to church so that you won't give in to temptation. He said, pray. Invite God into the conversation. Let God know what you are thinking about. Let God know how you feel. He knows, but he wants to be invited in. It's like if somebody having a party and they ain't give you an invitation. And then they come to you like, why you ain't come to my party? You ain't give me an invitation. So I'm not just going to come in and crash your party. And that's how God is. Like, I'm not just going to come and show up at your party. I need an invitation. You need to say, God, you invited into my life. Like, so stop wanting God to kick down doors for you if you don't even invite him in. You need to invite him in. So you have to pray. You have to pray and let God know that you want him to set your boundaries. You want him to help you create these new habits. And be real. Like, say, God, if there is anything inside of me that is not like you, I want you to show me so that we can change it together. I need you to show me so that we can change it together. Thank you for showing me and highlighting the things that I'm trying to hide from myself, so that we can change, so that I can change together, like, with you, God. I need you to help me. So, yeah, that's the, y'all, I told y'all, I'm gonna say it again. It's 2019, we getting over these things. We are getting over them. All right, so, yeah, pray, then set your boundaries and your habits. And you got this. You got this. All right. I love you. I love you so much, you guys. Yeah, just pray for me. Make sure that you join me on the live. I got to figure out what we're going to do on the live. The Lord will let me know, though. And I'll see you on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And just be strong. You got this. I got this. We got this. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I love you. All right. Bye.